The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Simin Yud Beis, Hachanas HaGuf Mitfima, the preparing, the preparation of the body for prayer, and the places where it is fitting to pray in them. Sif Aleph. It says in the verse, prepare yourself towards to meet your God, O Israel. Pirush. This means, a person should prepare himself in front of Hashem, blessed be He. You should dress himself in malbushei kavod, in clothing of honor. When you're going to pray, because when a person prepares himself for a prayer, he should make sure to dress in appropriate attire, but as if he was appearing, he was going to meet an honorable officer, member of the government, and the same way he would dress to meet such a person, he should dress to meet Hashem when he is going to pray, because when a person is praying, he is should imagine himself, he is literally standing in front of Hashem and talking to Him, and therefore it's only appropriate that he should be dressed in a manner befitting such an occasion. Even if a person prays in his house alone, not in a synagogue, and other people are not going to see his mode of dress, you should still dress himself appropriately because he's still standing in front of Hashem. Whether or not other people see the way he is dressed doesn't change the reality that he is right now standing in front of Hashem. In places where the custom is to walk, walk around in a belt, also it is forbidden to pray until one puts a belt upon himself. So first of all, we're saying in the Sif that a person should make sure to dress appropriately. If a person has work clothes that normally get dirty, he has pajamas, he's not wearing shoes, he's wearing boots, the type of boots that usually go over one's shoes, they're not normally worn in company. All of these things are not appropriate attire for davening. A person should make sure to change before he goes to daven, before he goes to pray, because he's meeting Hashem, he has to look appropriate, presentable. This is the reason that many people wear a hat and jacket in order to pray, because they feel that makes them look more presentable. At least, whatever a person feels is a normal way he would want to prepare himself to be seen by somebody respectable, he certainly should make sure to dress in that manner. Then the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch tells us there's almost a special halacha, a special law, that a person should make sure to wear a belt. Meaning there's a halacha, a law we learned earlier, that a person has to have a separation between his heart and his erva. And we discussed then that any separation, as long as there's some kind of separation, even a pants are a sufficient separation, and therefore, as far as that law is concerned, the person need not wear an extra belt, because he, as long as he's wearing pants or underwear, he already has a separation between his heart and his erva. However, the Kitzur is telling us if it's the custom to wear a belt, if you personally, let's say, always walk around in pants with a belt, it is only appropriate for you to make sure to wear a belt while you're praying. And therefore, if it happens to be that you don't have your belt on, you should make an extra effort to find a belt and to wear a belt during prayer, because for you that's a type of dress which is, in your eyes, more respectable. It's your normal mode of dress, and consider yourself a little bit underdressed if you're not wearing a belt. And therefore, it's not appropriate to pray to Hashem while you're underdressed. And this concept of wearing a belt for prayer is the source of the minig among Hasidim, that they wear what's called a gatel. They wear an extra belt specifically for prayer, and that's because, well, in the way the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch presents the halacha, it's only if one is accustomed, normally wears a belt, he has to make sure to wear a belt, and therefore, a person, certainly not customary for most people to wear this extra belt, this extra gartel on top of their clothing for prayer, and therefore one would not be required to wear such a thing. However, in other sources, the simple reading of the source of this halacha would seem to indicate there's an extra reason to wear a belt, even if you have a belt already, but it's something special for prayer, then one should put on a belt, specifically put on a belt for prayers, and that is the reason that Hasidim have this custom. But again, the way Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is paskening is teaching us, and in the way most others have the customs, that only if a person normally does wear a belt, he's obligated to make sure to have a belt on for prayers. If he does not necessarily normally wear a belt, or if he already has a belt on his pants, there's no requirement for him to wear an additional belt for tefillah, for prayer. Sif Beis, Taivin Litein Tzedakah Kaidem HaTefillah, it is good to give tzedakah, to give charity before praying. Shenemar, as it says in the verse, Ani B'Tzedek Echaz Efanecha, I will see your face, means I will come to talk to Hashem with tzedek, which literally means righteousness, but in the context, we expound upon the verse to explain that it means with charity. I, with charity, will merit to see your face, meaning before I come to pray, I will give charity. A person should also accept upon himself, before every prayer, mitzvah, he should accept upon himself to fulfill the positive commandment to love all his fellow Jews as he loves himself, to engender a feeling of love for his fellow Jews. He should build up in his mind a love for each and every member of the Jewish nation as he loves himself. Because if God forbid there is a separation of the hearts of the Jews down here on this world, meaning there is fights, there is strife, there is argument, people are not getting along so well, people do not feel friendly with one, the Jews do not feel friendly one with the other, as I then, up above in the spiritual realm, there is no unity, and the souls of the Jews are divided, which, as we'll see in a minute, makes it much more difficult for a person's prayers to be accepted. But the unity of the bodies, meaning of our physical state, our mental state down here on this world, that we feel close to one another, and we feel love for one another, that causes an unity and a connection of our souls up above in the spiritual realm. Value days, and through this, that all the souls of all the Jews are connected. Gan tefilah sam esachtas, their prayers are all unified and connected. When the prayers of all the Jews are twined together, are connected together, he would see in front of his baruch shemai, is accepted and more beloved in front of Hashem. Blessed is his name, and therefore, a person's prayers to be more efficacious is preferable that they come as part of the whole, the unity of the entirety of Klal Yisrael. If a person is one lone individual, unless he's in a very exalted state of piety, his prayers may not have the same level of accomplishment as when they're part of Klal Yisrael. Hashem always listens to the prayers of the multitudes of the Jews, and therefore when your prayer is together with everybody else's, because you love everybody else, and you're connected within your emotions with the rest of the Jews, so then your prayers are connected, and your prayers are more efficacious, and Hashem listens to them to a greater degree. There's another note that's not mentioned specifically over here, but really the prayer of Shemoneh Esrei is all said in a plural. And one is praying, one is not just praying for himself, that he should have wisdom, and he should have health, and he should have a livelihood, but he's rather praying for all of us meaning all the members of the Jewish nation, And that really itself is a fulfillment of the positive commandment of loving each Jew like we love ourselves. If a person would just put a little thought into his prayers, and when he's saying the words, he should actually feel that he's praying not just on behalf of himself, but on behalf of others. That itself is a fulfillment of this commandment, because that's what he's doing. He's loving others the same way he loves himself. Just as he's praying for himself, for his own welfare, he is praying for others, for their welfare. Sif Gimel. Ksiv, it says in the verse, in Kehelis, Shemar Raglecha, you should guard your feet, Kasher Telecha Beis Elohim, when you go to the house of Hashem. V'dashu Razal, the rabbis expounded upon this verse, the Raglecha Hainu HaNekavim She'etzel HaRaglayim. That in this verse, in a deeper level, the word feet is not a reference to the actual feet, but rather to the orifices that are near the feet, meaning to the excretory system, that a person should make sure to relieve himself before going to the house of Hashem, before going to the synagogue to pray, he should make sure to relieve himself. A person has to check himself, meaning he has to go to the bathroom and make sure that he does not have the need to relieve himself before starting to pray. And then it's a tracha if he doesn't need to. He has to check himself to make sure that he doesn't need to perform his bodily functions, meaning he does not need to relieve himself. And if a person feels it within himself, even a little bit of a sensation, a feeling that he needs to use the bathroom, he needs to relieve himself. Also, it is forbidden for him to pray. And even to learn to study the words of Torah, it is forbidden. Also, is forbidden. Calls a man shagufay meshukatz, even when as long as his body is abominable, meaning it has that feeling that he has to, that urge to relieve himself. He is not supposed to pray. He is not supposed to study Torah. Rather, he should go to the bathroom, cleanse himself, and then you could go back. Ad shinakis atzmo, until he cleanses his body from the waste material which is causing that urge. Ubidiyevin, however, ex post facto, if he already did it, he already in his palo, if he already prayed, kishu nitzvach nekava, when he needed to use the bathroom, when he had the urge to relieve himself. So it depends. Imu mishaya ba'atzmai, if he can estimate within himself, shehoya yachol laha'amid es atzmai, that he would have been able to hold himself in shir hilach parsa, the amount of time it takes to walk one parsa. One parsa is 4 mil, which is 8,000 amas, 8,000 cubits, which is somewhere between 12 and 16,000 feet, which takes the Kitzotel Shav Chemish an hour and a quarter, otherwise known as 72 minutes. So the bottom line is that a person would be able to, he thinks that he would be able to hold himself back from needing to actually relieve himself for 72 minutes, tefillah se tefillah, then the prayer was a valid prayer. He was not supposed to pray in that case. He still should have used the bathroom. However, if he did it, since he could have held himself in for that amount of time, for 72 minutes, then the tefillah was valid. He does not have to repeat his tefillah. He does not have to pray over again. But if not, if he feels that he would not have been able to hold out for 72 minutes, I feel him. But then, even after the fact, in mispalo, if he already prayed, tefilasa te'eva, his prayer is an abomination. Bitzorich lachso his problem, and he has to repeat himself. He has to go back and pray once more. And the Kitni Mishabura, however, says that this is only applicable to the Shemona Esrei prayer. Other blessings, and even the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, even Shema, even though, again, one should not optimally say any of these blessings or say Shema, as we said, even learn, while he feels an urge to relieve himself. However, if he did so, even if he was could not hold himself in for 72 minutes, still, if it was already done, he has fulfilled his obligation. He does not have to say the blessing again. He does not have to repeat Shema over again. It's only Shemona Esrei, which one is standing in front of Hashem and talking more directly to him there, if his body is has such an urge to relieve himself that he can't hold himself in for 72 minutes, then even if he already prayed, the prayer is invalid. And there are those who say, if a person could hold himself in for 72 minutes, the amount of time it takes to walk a parsa, then even optimally, he's allowed to start praying. Even though the kitzur mentioned before that one should really not pray, even if he feels he's able to hold himself in, as long as he has an urge to relieve himself. There are those who disagree and say that as long as he could hold himself in for 72 minutes, he could go ahead and start praying, even optimally. The yesh lismechaz, and a person could rely on this, and who be inyan shebe'oy sheyifne yavrez ma'at tefillah. If he thinks that after the time he takes him to relieve himself, to use the bathroom, and then come out again, it will already be after the proper time for praying Shemoneh Esrei, and he will have missed his mantu, have missed the proper time for prayer. So then he should indeed pray without using the bathroom. However, the clear implication of the words of the Kitzur are that if you'll just miss tefillah b'tzibur, you'll just miss being able to pray with the congregation, then he certainly should relieve himself, and he'll have to he has to daven singly by himself. So be it. That is okay. There, the Kitzur tells us that if one already has started prayer and he does not need to use the bathroom, and then in the middle of his Shemoneh Esrei, in the middle of his prayer, he feels an urge to relieve himself, then he should hold himself in as long as possible, rather than interrupt in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and he should finish the Shemoneh Esrei, and only afterwards he should use the bathroom. Now, just to clarify some of the rules over here as far as the urge to use the bathroom, there are three distinct phases as far as the urge to use the bathroom. There is a person who has, yes, no urge whatsoever. There's a person who has an urge to use the bathroom, but he can hold himself in for 72 minutes. That's, I guess, phase number one as far as having a real urge to use the bathroom. And then there's a person who has an urge to use to relieve himself, and he cannot hold himself in for 72 minutes. But it's not pressing right now, immediately. The second, he can hold himself in for a little bit, but not for 72 minutes. And then there's a pressing immediate urge. He really feels he has to go right away. And such an urge, the law is, the Kitzur has mentioned to us in previous simon, that one is over, and one has transgressed a prohibition of Baal Teshaksa, of making oneself disgusting if he holds himself in. Even in that situation, if he really has to, has an urge to go, it's a very pressing and immediate. And he holds himself in anyway, so there he has transgressed, at least rabbinically, the prohibition against making oneself disgusting by holding in the excrement inside of himself. However, it's very important to realize that an urge to pray means he has an urge to relieve himself means he has a real urge. It is brought down that if someone thinks he has an urge, he feels he has to relieve himself, but if he would think about something else and the urge would go away, he would no longer feel the need to relieve himself, that's not considered an urge. That's not what we're discussing here. That is not what the Kitzur is referring to when he says that you have a tzas hargasha. Hargasha means, an urge means, that it's insistent, your body feels the need to relieve itself, that even if you would think about something else, you would still feel that need. That is an urge. And that's when we say that even if you could hold yourself in for 72 minutes, a person really is not supposed to pray, he's not supposed to learn, he's not supposed to say any blessings until he relieves himself. But anything less than that is not at all in this whole category. And a person should not make himself crazy, should not make himself extra nervous, and go run to the bathroom every 5 minutes, or whatever frequently it is, because he's nervous, he has an urge, he has to go. A person should realize that a normal, healthy person doesn't have to go that often, and even though right now he feels like he has an urge, it's very common that it's just his mind almost playing tricks on him, and if you think about something else, it would go away, and then there's no reason why he has to stop in the middle of his learning, or in the middle of his praying, or certainly not to miss praying with a minyan, with a congregation because of that. Rather, he should continue on until he has a real, serious urge to relieve himself. Siv Dalet, Misha Barinoi, a person who is clear to him, She'eino yachol la'amid al atzmai milo hafiach. He absolutely is sure that he cannot hold himself back from passing gas at she'yigmor kriya shema tefila. He will not be able to say the entire Shema and Shemana Esrei without passing gas. So in that case, it's preferable she'yavras man kriya shema tefila, that he should not say Shema and not pray the Shemana Esrei prayer. Let the times, proper times pass. He's stuck. What could he do? Mimashi is foul. Bolegof nagi, then he should pray. We should say Shema without a clean body. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says that the consensus of opinion among the later, among the Peskim, is that Kriya Shema, one should not do that. Since Kriya Shema is a positive commandment on a total level, one is obligated to say Shema twice a day, and if one, therefore, a person is obligated to fulfill that commandment, even at the expense, even at the risk of having to pass gas in the middle. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, if a person is absolutely convinced that he can't pray or he can't say Shema without passing gas, so he should say Shema anyway, rather than miss out on the proper time for saying Shema. As opposed to Shemana Esrei, he says, whereas since the person when he says Shemana Esrei is literally standing in front of the presence of Hashem, that already it's very disgraceful for a person to pass gas when he's in the middle of talking directly to the king, and there if he's stuck, he's stuck. If he can't pray without passing gas, he should just skip prayers until a future date, a future time. And the Kitzur continues and says, V'mavar Zman Tefillin, if a person therefore had to pass the entire Zman Tefillin, the entire proper time for prayers, and he was unable to pray because he had to pass gas, honors who he is considered something circumstances beyond his control, and you can make up the prayer, as we'll see later on, in Simcha Aleph, that a person who missed one prayer due to circumstances beyond his control, he could pray twice during the next time frame for prayer. So in this case, this is considered an inus, it's beyond his control, and he is going to pray twice, let's say, for the afternoon prayers. However, this is only if it's absolutely clear to you. If you're not sure, you should try. That the Mishnah Berurah says clearly that if a person is not sure, he can make it through the Shema and Shemana Esrei without passing gas. He's certainly supposed to do that. He shouldn't allow himself to say, oh, maybe I'm not sure if I could do it, better not to pray. This halacha is only said if a person for sure convinced that he will not be able to make it through without passing gas. If a person thinks that he can at least make it through Shema without passing gas, he should put on his tefillin between the blessing of which is the blessing right before Shema, and stop there. Put it on right there between the blessing and the Kriya Shema, between Shema. And we should even say a blessing then, because he's going to have to take off his tefillin right away afterwards, because as we learned earlier, tefillin may not be worn by someone who does not have a clean body. Therefore, he should say the blessing on his tefillin now, say Shema, and take off his tefillin right away, so he doesn't end up passing gas while wearing his tefillin, which we said before is forbidden. Sifhei. A person is obligated to wash his hands with water until his wrist before prayer. And therefore, even though a person washed his hands in the morning, meaning he washed, we said Negelvasser, and he woke up in the morning, he washed three times on each hand, as we discussed earlier, still, if his hands afterwards touched some dirty area, what does that mean? Tahainu, for example, the mekaymus amechusim adam, the covered parts of a person's body, the parts of which are normally covered. Sheyesham milnuy there, there are beads of sweat over there. Or he scratched his head, and we mentioned both of these earlier in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch as places that one touches or scratches that he has to wash his hands afterwards. Or for some reason he was unable to wash his hands in the morning until the wrist. He is obligated to rewash his hands, to wash his hands again, or for the first time, he has to wash his hands up until the wrist before prayer. If he does not have water, he has to go search for them. And that means to the extent that he has to travel in front of him for a distance of 4 mil, which is, that's, and 1 mil is 2,000 amos, so that's 8,000 cubits, which again is between 12,000 and 16,000 feet. And la'achar of mil, or behind him, he has to travel a distance of a mil, is 2,000 amos, 2,000 cubits, which is about 3,000 to 4,000 feet. And this is talking about someone who's traveling. As you're on the road, you're traveling, it comes time to pray. Right now you do not have any water available. So if in the direction you are traveling, you know that you will reach water up to a distance of 4 mil, up to a distance of 12,000 to 16,000 feet, so then a person should wait to pray until he gets to the place where there is water, if he knows there is water. And if he knows there is water behind him, he passed a rest stop, let's say, he passed some location behind him within a mil that has water, he should turn around and go back to get water. If a person is sitting at home, he's not traveling anywhere, or he's in the synagogue and for some reason there's no water, so then everywhere that he goes is like going backwards because it's out of his way. He wasn't planning on traveling at all, and he only has to travel 1 mil. This law is not so relevant nowadays. It's very hard to think of a normal situation where a person can't find water, and then a person should make it his business. If he's traveling somewhere and it's time for prayer, he should stop off at a rest stop, at a gas station, somewhere where there is water, and wash his hands before praying. If he's worried that while he's waiting, while he's traveling to get to water, the optimal time for prayer will pass, then he should forget the water. He should cleanse his hands with the rocks or with some kind of hard dirt that will cleanse his hands from, let's say, sweat or grease. Or anything else which will cleanse his hands, a dry cloth, will miss Pavel, and he should pray and not worry about the water. They'll see it as it says in the verse, I will wash with cleanliness my palms, and then I will pray. So we explain that I will wash with water if possible, and if that's not possible, with cleanliness. And cleanliness is not necessarily with water, as any way in which it gets clean. And we understand that to mean b'chol midi d'menaki, anything which will cleanse his hands, that is good enough. Now, if a person is not going to miss this zman tefila, he'll be able to pray within the proper time. However, he will miss praying with a congregation. Right now, there are 10 men assembled to pray. The person knows his own hands are dirty, and he has to go find water. If he goes find water and come back, he will miss praying with the congregation. So here in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it's not 100% clear. In the next Sif Vav, it is clearly, the implication clearly is that one is supposed to forego the prayer with the congregation in order to wash his hands. However, the Mishneh Berurah says that a person should not do so. He should rather cleanse his hands and pray with a minyan, pray with the congregation, rather than miss praying with the congregation.